If you'd like to open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, we've been looking at the family unit, and we're seeing just in our own church within the, and I suppose in most churches, the Lord has a message to everyone in every situation. We've looked at couples being available for the Lord, and the challenge was couples, you know, are you willing to put your hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to throw it all in, I want you to use me. I want to be used for your glory. And unashamedly just hand yourselves over into his life and be used. And I can tell you from our own experience, he will. And he will take you to places and give you trials and tribulations, amen, that you'd never known before. But what a blessing they are. Now, last week we looked at the mother of Moses. Imagine being that woman, Jochebed. And the faith that she showed. And today we're looking at predominantly children. Doing what is right is the title of the message, but it deals with parents as well. And you may say, well, I'm not a parent, so this message isn't going to be much for me. No, but you may have parents, and I don't know about anyone else, but even in my 50s when my parents were still alive, if they asked me to do something, I did it. Amen? Just because you're old doesn't mean you're set free from it. We still respect and honour our parents even so. Doing what is right. You know, when we look at the scriptures, we see especially in Paul's writings that he wasted no time on giving instructions for cleanup campaigns or social service work. He knew the condition of the human heart. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He knew that no amount of preaching against the conduct would change the character. Now, our Lord, he condenses many truths and a multitude of thoughts into very few words. And we're given in our text today the fifth commandment, which concerns home life. And it would do us good to remember that all the instructions that we need for our personal lives, for our social lives, for our public lives, for our home life, are found in the scriptures. You don't have to go anywhere else for them. The jails and the institutions of our country are not filled with those who love the Word of God. Amen. Those who heed its precepts. Instead, the jails and institutions of our country are filled with those who refuse to bow to God's will. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, if you can understand this today, this is a message for you. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And so we've got to put this verse in. Pay attention. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, to help us understand the subject here, we need to remember that this passage of Scripture is still under the context of the theme of mutual submission. Now, that starts back in chapter 5, verse 21, and goes all the way through to the end of chapter 6, and that is submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, in the fear of God. I've many husbands come to me saying, my wife's not submitting to me. And I say, were you submitting to her? Where does it say that? Right there. Submit yourselves one to another. I'm not taking away the authority of the family. That's just a truth. That's how a husband loves his wife. And a wife then submits to her husband. But no family has everything together. Some families think they do, but they don't. And we see in our text today, in those short four verses, words like obey, honour, provoke not, bring them up, and nurture. But these aren't like numbers in a mass question where you can add them all up and get the right answer, the perfect family. That's just not how life works. But the family with all its faults can be much richer for being obedient to this. The admonition we find in these verses is much needed today as in no other age since God created man. Never have children be so disobedient and so disrespectful to parents as in our present time. And it's not hard to see that disrespect in the home is the main reason for disrespect to other authorities in life. Praise God, he knows the end from the beginning, and he knew that the command given in our text would be needed in our day. Now Solomon, the wisest man in the world who ever lived, counsels us in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that word train up is hanak. And that means you dedicate your children from the time they are small to walk in the way, which is the word derek, of the Lord. You hanak to derek them. Now we're going to leave that there just for the moment. We'll get back to it. But our first point this morning is children doing what is right. Verse 1 again, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now I pray that you children are listening this morning, and I'm also pray that you parents take notice of your part as well. The first step in a child's obedience, listen carefully, is the parent's obedience to the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord, it says. Tells the children that their obedience to their parents is a part of how they serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The very Son of God, we are told in Luke 2:51, who was subject to his earthly parents, even when they didn't understand him or encourage his call from God on his life, he was subject to them. And children, listen, pay attention, look at me up the front here. God has placed your parents in authority over you because you need the guidance, the wisdom, the protection they can or should be providing for you. Your home life is a school for life, with your parents ideally teaching you and equipping you to live out Christ's gospel and walk in holiness, righteousness, and love. That's the responsibility of the home to the children. In God's design, parents are for the children like a mirror of how God himself is to his children. Romans 8:31 says to us, well, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 does not give parents divine permission to rule over their children as though their children are slaves subject to a master. Now some might not like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it nonetheless. Children are to obey their parents in the Lord. They are to obey their parents in the Lord until such obedience of their parents brings disobedience to God. A God who loved the world enough to permit Jesus to die for all sinners. There are many children who love the Lord, but whose parents do not. Their parents drink alcohol, they gamble. Like the soldiers at the cross, they're playing lotto as the blood of Christ dripped all around them. They take drugs, they use foul language. And to those saved children, you obey your parents as far as possible without disobeying God. Amen. God wants parents who are nurturing, who have an attitude. God has given us this child. They are His gift to our home, and we will show our submission to the Lord by loving and nurturing His precious gift to us. That's a parent's role. Children, if your parents are godly, born again believers, then you obey them. Do not question their commands, their advice, or their wishes. If they are truly godly parents, they will be doing nothing other than giving God's best to you. You walk the path laid out by your parents concerning the friends you have, the places you go, the things you watch, and the company you keep. And parents, if that's your desire, then you be careful of the friends you have, the places you go, the things you watch, and the company you keep. Parents who truly love the Lord will not lead you astray. They will not lead you into the traps of worldliness laid out by the devil. Parents who truly love the Lord will watch over their children, and they will take responsibility for them. There was a little boy, and he was allowed to sit in Dad's chair at the dinner table one night because Dad was away at a meeting. And his older sister got really upset about that. She thought she should be there. And she sneered at her brother and said, "So, oh, you're the father tonight, are you? How much is 2 times 7? And the boy replied innocently, "I'm too busy, ask your mum." That's not how it should be. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. Now that word honor is interesting because it means to prize or to put a value on. Again, children, you honor, you show how much your parents mean to you without dishonoring the Lord. Don't be ugly. Don't be hateful. As a Christian, you should never, ever act disrespectful to your parents. Why? Because verse 3 tells us that it may be well with thee and thou may live long on the earth. And we see here Paul points out honoring and obeying parents was the first commandment with promise. Now, what was a long life in the land of promise for the Israelites? Exodus 20:12 explains this for us. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long on the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. See, this isn't a guarantee for us today, but I want you to listen very, very carefully. It is a principle for living. It is a principle for life. And there are young people dying every day who live lives of disobedience and dishonor to their parents an authority in their lives. Now, one of the greatest preachers in our time, or in the 60s, Oliver B. Green, said himself he was a terrible child until he was 19 years old. Now, he led hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord, a great man of God. And he said he did not expect to live very long because of how he treated his parents. And he dropped dead at 60. I'm just saying, it's a principle. A principle. And he said himself he didn't expect to live a long life because of that. Drug overdoses, joyrides in stolen cars, early death through body and abuse, emotional abuse, mental abuse in their lives, all from wanting to do what? To please themselves. Kids, as you honour your parents, you are preparing the soil, you are sowing seeds to your soul, whereby one day you will be ready to be able to receive God's authority over your life. Now, parents, can't you see how important this is? This is why you're bringing your children up in the godly ways. You are preparing them to receive God's authority. Back to Solomon, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Train up again means hanak. It means you dedicate your children from the time they are small to walk in the way, that's the derech of the Lord. And it was very interesting as I was studying this, that phrase, in the way he should go, can also be read according to his way. And that puts a different outlook on it. Now, John Vernon McGee, he put it very plain and simple, down-to-earth meaning, which I like. He said, God has a way he wants your child to go. And parents are to find out that way. They are not to bring up a child in the way they think he should go, but in the way God wants him to go. The key to this is understanding, is a sensitivity to know how God has put your children together and how he has shaped their personality and their traits. See what that means? See, we are to help them find their gifts and show them how to use them for God's glory. And you say, well, how can that be? How many of us as parents have said, oh gosh, isn't Johnny good at that? We've all said it. Isn't our daughter very clever at that? There's the gift. That's what you nurture in the way. That also means we do not force on them a Christian faith the way the Pharisees practice their walk with the Lord, under the bondage of harsh punishment to rules and regulations, a strictness that brought resentment from the people. See, a true relationship with God is real and personal and intimate. It's not based on a fear of never being good enough. We already know we're not. It doesn't have to be reinforced in our life. It's not based on intimidation, but love and care and nurturing, a fear that is based on love and respect. Listen, children genuinely want to be known. They do. Why do they think they come to you and ask you questions? Why do they think they come to you and say, look what I've done? They want to be known. But parents, you train them in godliness in a way that's made for them. You find out their gifts and you train them in that way. That's what you call nurturing. So what does it mean? First, it means you must know how your children learn most easily. You must know how sensitive they are and how much encouragement they need and how close they like you to get at times. Sometimes they need space. And it means then you know how and when they need to be disciplined and disciplined biblically. That means you must be spending heaps of time with them. And God's ways worked into a child's life will never happen if it's hit or miss. It will never happen if their parents are telling children they shouldn't do this while their parents do what they're telling their children not to do. It just doesn't work that way. There's a worldly saying out there that parents say to their children, do as I tell you, not as I do. That's of the devil. Deuteronomy 6:7 tells us, and thou shalt teach them, this is the Lord's ways, diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when they liest down, and when they risest up. See, when our parents nurture, we put our agenda aside. And we accept our children as the individuals they are, individuals God has created for us to help develop and work on the gifts He has blessed them with and to use them for His honor and glory. And children, you honor your parents as they bring you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I was reading, a headmaster was telling about a pastor who used to come to the school, and he'd come and give the children their Christian class. And the pastor said, I believe children know the fifth commandment, honor thy father and honor thy mother, but do they understand it? He asked. And as the class started, a little boy repeated the fifth commandment, and the pastor asked him to explain it. And the little boy said, there was a man walking down our dusty road, and he asked me which way was into town. And I replied, over that hill, sir. Come and I'll show you. So I took the man to the top of the hill and pointed the way to town. The man saw that my feet were cut and bleeding and that I didn't have any shoes. We were a poor family. And he said, look, I'd like to give you this money so you can buy some shoes for yourself. Thank you, said the boy. And with great joy, he went into his house and called out to his mother, Mother, I just helped show a man the way to town and he's given me money to buy some shoes. So I gave the money to my mother because she didn't have any shoes either. And I thought I could go barefoot better than she could. That's a child honoring their parents. They have to be taught that. They have to see that in their parents before they act it out. Children, do not deliberately disobey godly parents, because it will not work out for you. Children, do what is right. Parents, doing what is right. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, we hear a lot today, in fact, we hear it every day, about juvenile delinquency. Now, I don't know if that's the term they use anymore. In fact, that's probably not politically correct anymore. But the call is for parents to take more control, but the government's taken control of the family out of the hands of the parent. real discipline, godly discipline's been outlawed. Now, I want to go on record as saying we, that is our church, is against all forms of abuse. Mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. That's where we stand. We stand for the protection of children, the protection of women and wives, and the protection of men and husbands from abuse and all forms of abuse. But there are children on the streets causing havoc because parents really don't care what their children are up to. Now, I know there are parents who have done their very best by their children, given their children every opportunity, love for them, cared for them, and even then, their children have gone the way of the world. But in most cases, teenagers who drink alcohol, take drugs, swear, and lie have been brought up in homes where that's a fact of life, and there's little, if any, control or discipline. Now, the Bible, God's inerrant word, as we've already seen, promises that if you train up a child in the way he should go when he is old, he will not depart from it. That very same Bible also says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth and chasteneth him betimes. Today, many children are running amok on the streets because they've not been brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the time to start training a child is not when they're 3, 4, 5 years old. As we saw last week in Jochebed's life, it's 2 to 3 days old where you begin to teach them the things of the Lord. And many parents, and I have them speak to me and ring me, wonder why they can't control their children, why the children ignore their requests or don't listen. And the answer is easy. They didn't start on time. Now listen, most children, and even good Christian children, will do nearly anything they can get away with. Amen? We've all been there. And we have to remember that our children are born in a tabernacle of flesh. They are born with a sin nature, and it's just as natural for children to resist authority and follow the flesh as it is for the stars to come out later on tonight. Children have to be taught to do right. They have to be taught right from wrong. They have to be taught the correct and proper way. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now the first thing is, never incite a child to anger by being so harsh that you draw resentment and anger out of that child, which robs them of respect for their parent because the punishment was just way too severe. Discipline should always match the degree of the offense. Second, cruel words can bruise a child's self-esteem. It can play very heavy on their hearts and minds. Words that are unreasonable should always be avoided in disciplining a child. Third, this may seem a little bit odd, but even what we may think are expressions of love, like protecting our children, providing for their wishes, in other words, an overindulgence of those things, showing favoritism or permissiveness, can and will affect a child's heart and embitter them. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Rather than provoking them, bring them up. And that little phrase means you cherish and train and nourish them. We have the same thing in Ephesians 5:29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You see, and in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you teach your children, you educate them, you discipline them in the things of God. And that word admonition means to bring to attention through warning and mild rebukes. That's what the word admonition means. To have respect for God and God's authority. When a child is young, the mind's able to be molded. It's a bit like now, spring's coming out and some of the trees put out new little branches and they're soft and green and you can almost bend them in a circle without breaking them. And if a child is taught right, they can be shaped into a godly and beautiful life. But if a child is angered by being made a public example, in other words, give them a tongue lashing in front of everybody, that is the wrong thing to do. You take them aside, you take them outside, and you deal with them away from the crowd. And parents, we all know children can make us angry. But we should never chastise a child when we are angry. If a child has made us do something that's getting us all steamed up, we need to cool off before we dish out the discipline. And listen carefully. There is an age when physical discipline no longer helps a child or the parent. That's when you start taking away the privileges. That's when you start putting away the computers, the screens. That's when real parenting starts. When they complain, I want it back, I want it back, I want it back. That's where the parent doesn't give in but hands them over to the Lord. And you reason and you show them that the correction is for their own good and also for God's glory. Now please pay attention to this. The children's obedience and the parents' nurturing are both to be done of the Lord. In other words, Christ is the center of the relationship. And the closer the parents and the children draw near to the Lord, the closer the relationship will be to one another. Do your children see you reading the Bible before you do anything else of a morning? As the last thing they see before they go to bed at night? Do you read it with them? Is grace always said when a meal's about to be had? In fact, do you eat together? Parents, don't send your children to church. Don't send them to Sunday school. Take them. By the hand, bring them. Parents should be taking them to Sunday school, taking them to church, taking them to kids' club, bringing them to youth groups. Don't sit them in front of some Hollywood screen or movie and just to get a few hours off. Oh, my kid's not old enough. Yes, he is. Come and have some fellowship. Let him run around. Listen, God holds us parents responsible for the upbringing of our children. And listen carefully. The word father in this verse is pater. And it doesn't just mean dad, it's the word for parent. It's a team effort, mums and dads. Don't leave it up to one parent to do it. Do it together. It's not the grandparents' job. It's not the church's job. It's not the state's job or the school's job. It's not the youth group or kids club's job or responsibility to bring up children. Even though they have an influence on children, the final duty rests with the parents, the mother and father. And for that to be right, the mother and father must have a right godly attitude and a right godly foundation. Now, everything in today's homes is controlled by buttons. You press a button and the screen lights up. That's not parenting. Children pulling at parents, mum's skirt. What does mum do? Chuck them a phone. That's not parenting. That's setting your child up for a disaster. An absolute disaster. Old-fashioned mothers, old-fashioned fathers, old-fashioned home training, old-fashioned godly discipline would answer the question of the state of the family today. Not an amen. There you go. Not an amen. We're too busy with our screens, too busy neglecting what we really should be doing with our children. Listen carefully. A child has no choice. They did not choose you to be their parents. They did not choose to come into this world. And that makes the parents responsible for the children being here. And that puts the parents in the position, listen carefully, of owing your children a tremendous debt. And that debt is that they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and are brought up in a nurturing, loving, godly home. And if the obligation we parents owe to children to bring them up to know and love the Lord, if we don't do that, we will pay for it in heartbreak. And listen carefully, could even see the cost go on right through eternity. I want to read you something D.L. Moody wrote. He said, a father took his son out into a field to play. It was a hot summer's day and the father sat down under a tree while his young son picked the wildflowers and picked up sticks and brought them to the father to show him what he was doing. The father dozed off, and when he woke, he couldn't see his son anywhere. And he got up and started looking around the trees and so forth, and then a panic came over him. He couldn't see or find his son anywhere. He called out and he looked all over. He came to a cliff, and at the bottom of the cliff laid his son's crumpled body. And he rushed down to the bottom and picked up the lifeless boy, accusing himself as the murderer. While he was asleep, his son fell over the cliff to his death. Moody said, as I read that, what a picture of God's church. How many fathers, how many mothers, how many Christian men and women are sleeping right now while their children are falling over the cliff into a bottomless pit? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we have had the Holy Spirit minister your truth to us today. And it is sad that many will go out the door, and not only has it gone over their head, it's gone in one ear and out the other. And yet it is the most important of all relationships after our relationship with you, that we raise the children which you have gifted to us, which we have brought into the world, to honour and love and know you. Father, may we put our hands up today and acknowledge we may not be doing as well as we should, and that from this day forth, we surrender ourselves to you completely. Lord, we thank you that as we do, you will take control. You will lead and guide us and direct us through your Spirit. And it will be well with thee. Help us not, Lord, just to let this go, but to take it and live it for our good and for your glory. And we ask and pray these things in the precious name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.